What happens when the Mona Lisa becomes just another image on your screen? Walter Benjamin's groundbreaking 1935 essay explored this question with uncanny foresight. Long before Instagram filters and digital art, Benjamin recognized that mechanical reproduction fundamentally transforms our relationship with art. When we can perfectly reproduce paintings, music, or film, something essential changes, not just in how we distribute art, but in what art fundamentally is. The essay connects art theory to political resistance against fascism in ways that remain startlingly relevant. As we navigate today's digital landscape of endlessly reproducible content, Benjamin's questions about authenticity, presence, and cultural authority have never felt more urgent. His work essentially theorized our digital revolution before computers existed, showing how reproduction technologies don't just make art more accessible, they transform the very nature of human perception and social organization. Throughout history, art has been reproducible through students copying masters and craftsmen making replicas, but technological reproduction represents something fundamentally different. This process accelerated through woodcuts, copper engravings, lithography, photography, and film, which captured images at the speed of speech. What's lost is what Benjamin calls the aura, an artwork's unique presence in time and space, its authentic existence with a history of physical changes and ownership. Even perfect reproductions lack this here-and-now quality. When we photograph Michelangelo's David or stream Bach, we strip away its singular existence and context. The reproduction travels where the original cannot, bringing art to viewers rather than viewers to art, detaching the artwork from tradition. This transformation reflects broader social changes. As societies urbanized and technologies advanced, people increasingly desired to bring things closer, both spatially and humanly. Modern perception values reproduction over uniqueness. A photograph of mountains differs fundamentally from standing before them and experiencing their presence. Reproduction makes art accessible, but removes the reverence that once surrounded unique objects. Imagine an ancient Venus statue. For Greeks, divine beauty embodied. For medieval clerics, a threatening pagan idol. Despite opposing views, both recognize these artifacts' singular power. Art originally served ritual purposes, from Egyptian tomb paintings to Renaissance religious commissions. Photography's emergence alongside socialist movements triggered an art crisis. The art for art's sake movement responded by rejecting social function for pure aesthetics. However, technological reproductibility ultimately freed art from ritual dependency, democratizing access. As art's ritual foundation eroded, its function transformed from ritual to politics. Religious art commanded reverence through uniqueness. Political art demands engagement through accessibility. A cathedral fresco seen by few pilgrims functions differently from a widely reproduced protest poster. The balance between cultic value and display value shifted throughout history. Cultic value prioritizes the artwork's existence over visibility, like Stone Age cave paintings created more for spirits than human viewers. Many religious artworks were deliberately concealed. As art separated from religion, display opportunities multiplied. Technological reproduction dramatically expanded this displayability, transforming art from an object of worship to a medium of social discourse. Early daguerreotypes retained traces of aura, their long exposure times captured an intensity of gaze with uncanny presence, creating images that seemed to look back at us across time with ghostly quality. When Eugene Adjet photographed empty Paris streets around 1900, something fundamental shifted. His work functioned not as art, but as evidence, historical documentation with hidden political significance, capturing a city facing modernization. These images demanded interpretation rather than contemplation. This transformation accelerated as journals began adding captions to photographs. Publications like The Worker Photographer used photo essays with text to shape political consciousness, creating a new visual literacy where meaning emerged through their interaction. The 19th century debate between painting and photography now appears misguided. The true significance wasn't whether photography qualified as art, but how it fundamentally altered art's function. By freeing art from ritual, technological reproduction transformed its social role, enabling new purposes, audiences, and experiences. Have you ever wondered why screen acting differs so fundamentally from stage performance? Film transformed not just how we view art, but how performance functions. Stage actors present directly to an audience in an intimate dialogue of energy and response. Screen actors perform through the mediating lens of the camera, which comments through movements, angles, and techniques like close-ups. This technological intervention creates what Pirandello called exile. The actor becomes separated from both stage and self, reduced to a captured image. Unlike theater, where actors command their space and timing, film treats actors as props positioned within the frame. The performance becomes fragmented through lighting requirements, multiple takes, and editing that assembles discrete episodes later. The actor's alienation stems from the transportability of their image, their reflection separated from themselves and carried to distant audiences across time. Film capital responds by inflating personality through elaborate star culture. Yet film simultaneously democratizes performance. Just as newspapers open correspondence to readers, film allows ordinary people to become extras or documentary subjects. This tension between democratization and commodification remains central to film's social function. Film creates a spectacle unbounded by a single viewpoint. Unlike theater, where illusion ends at the stage's edge, film's seamless illusion comes from editing that connects disparate moments. The cameraman works as a surgeon, penetrating the subject while maintaining analytical distance. The painter, conversely, acts as a magician, preserving natural distance and creating effects through gesture. Painters present reality as it appears to human vision, while cameramen produce fragments reassembled under new perceptual laws. This penetration reveals what Benjamin calls the optical unconscious, aspects of reality visible to the camera but not to the naked eye. Like Freudian theory exposed the unconscious through slips and dreams, film reveals previously unnoticed dimensions of the sensory world. Close-ups, unusual angles, and altered motion unveil familiar objects in new ways. A walking gesture becomes a complex ballet. A face transforms into a landscape of texture. These techniques reveal new dimensions of reality, creating a different nature that speaks to the camera rather than the eye, bringing us closer to understanding our world's hidden complexity. Benjamin warns of fascism's exploitation of new aesthetic forms, organizing masses without changing property relations, offering spectacle instead of economic justice. The masses become performers in their own subjugation, finding false empowerment in collective submission. War emerges as the ultimate aestheticized politics, providing destructive outlets while preserving traditional ownership structures. Marinetti's Futurist Manifesto exemplifies this danger by celebrating war as beautiful for establishing human control over machines. This fusion of technology, aesthetics, and violence culminates in fascist spectacle. Despite these concerns, Benjamin remains hopeful. Technological reproductibility, while destroying aura, creates possibilities for democratic participation and critical engagement. Film can reveal the optical unconscious, showing previously hidden aspects of reality. Benjamin's enduring insight is that technological changes transform not just art distribution, but art's essence and our experience of it. His questions remain urgent today. In a world where everything can be reproduced, what remains authentic? When art loses its aura, what new forms of connection might emerge?